pole because I was mounted and burdened with the standard. I followed the men on foot. Uncle Doge formed a one-man rear guard. Two Shadowlander militiamen broke cover suddenly. They stumbled toward the water's edge. Arrows swarmed. Standing orders were to take no prisoners. The Shadowlanders had been warned. They'd been given 4 years' grace. They'd made their choices. Afterward, the soldiers began to settle in groups, finding what shelter they could, starting their cooking fires. More and more came up to the line. Our staff group gathered in the lee of a shattered boulder, everybody grumbling and shivering. Pessimists started talking about the chances of snow. I planted the standard. Uncle Doge and I got ready to make supper. There were no servants in this army. Servants ate up food soldiers could fix for themselves. Supper would be rice and dried fruit. Croker and I would add a few strips of jerked beef. Uncle Doge would add some fish meal to his rice. Many of the soldiers would eat no flesh because of religious prescriptions. I said, "Maybe we can find out if there are any fish in this lake." The old man looked out there. "Looks like there could be trout." But he didn't say anything about maybe catching them. The battery wagons came up. Each had a bed, 4 feet wide by 10 feet long, packed with bamboo tubes. They were the ultimate product of ladies' arsenals. The captain supervised their positioning. He wanted them set just right. Under this overcast, it wouldn't be long before it was dark enough for shadows to prowl. East of the lake, where Lady's left-wing division was advancing through very rugged country, a single point of light shot into the air, sped southward, lost velocity, and began to lose altitude slowly. Balls in several colors followed quickly. The soldiers stirred nervously. A whiff sound came from a nearby wagon. A green fireball streaked out over the lake, its light reflecting off the water. The breeze had died. The lake surface was growing calm. I was more nervous than any of the soldiers. I'd seen what those stinking little shadow weavers could do. I'd seen men scream out their lives while something invisible gnawed at them. The soldiers had heard the stories. The sentries would stay awake tonight. The green ball didn't dip toward that island. I sighed. Maybe there was no danger after all. The wagon crews loosed another ball at regular intervals. Not a one dipped toward that island. I regained my confidence. The men began to relax. Eventually, I rolled up in my blankets and lay there watching fireballs streak across the sky. It was a comfort knowing no shadow attack would go undetected. I listened to the wagon crews lay bets on what color fireball would pop out next. There was no known pattern. They were getting bored. Soon, they would be bitching about getting stuck with the duty while everybody else got to sleep. Chapter 15. I was having a bizarre dream about Cordy Mather and the Radisha when somebody poked me. I groaned, cracked an eyelid. I knew I didn't have to stand a watch. I'd helped with the cooking. I cursed, pulled my blankets over my head, and tried to get back to the palace where Mather was arguing with the Radisha about her plans to shaft the Black Company after the Shadow Master fell. It almost felt like I was actually there, rather than dreaming. "Wake up!" Uncle Doge prodded me again. I tried to cling to the dream. There was more to it. Something nebulous.